Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Support for Almost Entirely Sports is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. And Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Here's what we can do for you. We have an exclusive offer for listeners to Almost Entirely Sports. It's 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALMOST on any order at manscaped.com. That's an incredible deal for an incredible product. Listen, over the course of our future, maybe we'll get into more or less detail whenever talking about our experience with Manscaped, but I can tell you firsthand, they hooked us up. They sent out a box for me and Beards and Rudy, and apparently Beards this whole time was a Manscaped user and never told us, which has just really brought on more questions than answers at this point. But I have now used the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0, and everything in their Perfect Package 3.0 is absolutely unbelievable. Everything the ads say have been 100% true. It truly is a best-in-class grooming experience. Plus, if you do go get their Perfect Package, they'll also give you a pair of high-performance Manscaped boxer briefs that are incredible and will keep everything feeling fresh all day long, and a travel shed bag to put all your grooming goodies inside of. Also, the bag is incredible. I promise you, this is something that all of us were so excited to get and have been so impressed by whenever we did the unboxing on the show, whenever it got here to the station. Everybody at Manscaped has been great. The product is impeccable. And I'm really, really excited about being able to bring you a deal for 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. You can support the show and get a great product from Manscaped, really supporting yourself, if you know what I mean. There's a lot of double entendres throughout this read. I don't know if you caught that or not. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code ALMOST. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Anyway, thanks again to Jordan Foote for joining us last segment. Sneeze emoji, sneeze emoji, sneeze emoji.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Jordan thought he had emptied the tank leading up to the NFL draft with the 100-100 project we talked about last time he was on with us on last Wednesday. But no, the work has only truly begun, because now, I guess still, this is better for Jordan's numbers. We're talking about 6 guys instead of 100 guys. So the board has significantly narrowed as we'll continue to talk about the Chiefs draft class. Right now with Jordan Foote, you can read his work on arrowheadreport.com, part of the Sports Illustrated Fan Nation Network. You can follow him on Twitter at footnoted, F-O-O-T-E, noted. You get it. Jordan, not only did you make it through that, last time we sort of did a little check-in on how you were feeling after 100 and 100 was done. I also happen to know that you just wrapped up your thesis and the draft just happened. Have you been up for like 47 straight hours?
It's been pretty bad, and I feel a little weird because I haven't published an article in like 2 days, I think. So I kind of don't know what to do with myself, but yeah. I did have that 20-page senior thesis, so I've definitely been trying to stay as busy as I can.
Yeah, no, I'm glad that you're, you know, feeling the urge to make sure you have something being published somewhere on the internet pretty much every 45 minutes. I think that's a healthy, reasonable way to live your life that definitely won't result in a burnout within the next 47 minutes.
Yeah, we'll just see how it goes. I mean, yeah. I'm here for a little bit. I know that I can't write while I'm talking. I haven't mastered that skill yet, so we'll just see how it goes.
And you're here for a good time, not a long time. You know, you're here for at least this segment, so we can make that work. Again, follow him on Twitter at footnoted. He'll have incredible. I don't know how long it's going to take before you and Tucker getting deep into the 2022 draft class. I know he's working on a mock draft already, and you are tweeting about it, and it's all ridiculous. But I want to talk about the Chiefs' actual real life 2021 draft class. I'll give you the whole class here. We'll try to work through everybody at least a little bit. But if I give you, of the 6 guys the Chiefs drafted, who right now are you most excited about?
Man, I think it's got to be Cornell Powell. And he's a guy that there's been, the way Brett Veach has talked about him, the way the Chiefs have talked about him, even the clip of the "you got the call" that the Chiefs were tweeting out or sharing or whatever, they seem to really be excited for him. And they lost Sammy Watkins, who's another Clemson guy. They're similarly sized. Their athletic profiles are similar. I don't do comps. I didn't do comps in that series, A, because I suck at them, but B, because that's extra stuff to do. So he did kind of have shades of Sammy Watkins in his game a little bit. Like, he's a physical guy, 6 foot, 210 pounds or so. He's a smooth route runner. It's eerily similar a little bit to Sammy Watkins, and I think that they're going to need someone who can fill that role, because DeMarcus Robinson, he wants to catch for 1,000 yards and all that stuff. He just isn't that type of player. He's not a Sammy Watkins type guy. So if, you know, I think it's going to take Powell a year probably to get used to the system. He'll start off on special teams and all that good stuff. But long term, this could be a pretty good steal for them.
So what do you think his best quality is, his best trait is? If you are looking into that future where we give him this year to catch up and he's playing special teams this year and maybe works in a little bit here and there and everything, if the Chiefs entrust him with essentially the DeMarcus Robinson role next year, maybe they bring in somebody else anyway, what is it that you think will make him successful?
He works. He's just a hard worker, and sometimes that's an indictment on guys if you have to call them that. This is a good thing with Powell. He is ultra physical. He can route people up. He displays really high effort at the catch point. He'll fight for positioning. He'll box out. Really physical with his hands. He can beat press. He's just the guy where if you need him to run a 5-yard slant and get open like a Sammy Watkins type role, where you just need him to be reliable. We saw in the Super Bowl, everyone saw in the Super Bowl, when things broke down, the Chiefs didn't have a lot of dynamic players out there. Watkins was more than likely injured. I thought he was clearly hobbled. Robinson couldn't make anything shake. Hardman just isn't that type of player. So I think the Chiefs are kind of lacking that right now. And if anything, Powell should be able to provide some of that pretty close to immediately for them.
So from this same class, who do you right now just not fully see it for? What do you look at and you go, man, I don't know, that's not what I would have done?
It's hard, man, to pick, because I'd like to nitpick all the draft classes and say I did or didn't like these picks, but I guess the Nick Bolton one would be the one that I'm closest to saying I don't like, and I gave it a C+. It's just because of that year one fit. Like, long term, you're going to have a starting Mike linebacker, and that's fine and dandy. So the 2021 role is kind of what I'm hung up on, especially for a second-round pick, but he has a high football IQ. He processes quickly. He's a big hitter. Like, he's going to step in. They're going to save some money for Anthony Hitchens leaving. So it's just a matter of how often does he see the field. And it was kind of the similar conversation if they took someone like Tommy Tremble with one of those picks, where he's only playing like 25-30% of the snaps. Like, is it worth it for that type of pick? So I think long term it is, but in the short term it's kind of a bummer that only probably one out of the two second-round picks will see the field quite often.
So I want to dig into that a little bit, because it's something that's been a little, it's a bit of a point of contention, depending on who you talk to. We'll talk to Seth Kaiser on the show tomorrow, and he's concerned about Bolton and coverage being able to hang, and the trio of guys that end up, however often they're in sub packages, right? Whenever they're in base, who's going to be on the field? We just talked to Matt Derrick, though. He thinks Bolton's going to be able to handle coverage fine and that he can be on the field there. Veach said that, it sounds like, to me at least, that he thinks Bolton can play either Mike or Will. He said by that verbatim. Hitch is clearly going to be the Mike this year, I think. And then I guess Willie Gay is your Sam. What do you make of, I mean, you could reach back to Willie Gay if you need to on that, but what do you think about those three guys, also Ben Neiman, and how you think those roles will pan out this year?
I hate to say it, and I know that the people listening aren't going to want to hear this, but I'm not entirely sure that Ben Neiman is not the dime linebacker this season for the Chiefs. I mean, it's one of those things where Hitchens is going to be your Mike, no matter what. You're paying him for that. He was good at it last year. Willie Gay isn't probably ever going to be a Mike. Not that he can't process like that, but Bolton, that's going to be his eventual spot. So I was surprised to see, hear Veach say that Bolton could hold down that will position partially because you need like a really good athlete who can get out and run. And Bolton's not necessarily slow, but he's undersized. He didn't test very well at his pro day. Coverage is probably his weak link. Not that he's horrible at it, but it's something that you really want him getting downhill, kind of stacking and shedding against the run, kind of what a Sam linebacker would do. And Willie Gay, he has the size for it, but he hasn't really shown a ton of that. So yeah. I thought that it was going to be Bolton being the Sam in base, or I guess he could do that well and see how it goes. Then in the nickel package, he would be the Buck, which is what Damian mm-hmm. Wilson was last season. So then it would be him and Hitchens. Then Willie Gay doesn't have a feature, so it's going to be interesting to see how the Chiefs feature Willie Gay, because that was a really big point of contention with the pick. Like, yeah. Does that mean Willie Gay's not going to see the field as much? Does that mean they aren't confident in him? Does that mean he doesn't have a clear role? Ben Neiman's going to be that dime linebacker because he knows where to be, I guess, even if he mm-hmm. has a little bit of trouble getting there and doing the stuff that he's supposed to do. So it's going to be an interesting puzzle that they have to figure out, but luckily they have some time to do it, and I think long-term it's going to work out pretty well.
I'm very interested to see how it pans out for 2021, but that's something we'll probably talk about like a really annoying amount like leading up to training camp and maybe throughout training camp, so I'll let it slide for now. So we can talk about somebody else, like Creed Humphrey, who was a second pick. He just said, you know, it does sound, you think one of the two second-round picks is going to have a real role in 2021. You I imagine, think Humphrey is going to start at the beginning of the 2021 season?
I do, man. He's just a really, really, really fun player, and you don't say that a lot about centers, yeah. But I mean, you can watch his film and he does pretty much everything well. He has a high IQ. He can do blitz pickups. He can communicate really well at the line of scrimmage. He has good leverage. He's strong. His fundamentals are sound. His footwork is quality. He can get out in space and make stuff happen. So he's a good fit in that zone run scheme that the Chiefs, I guess, have been doing. They kind of have been going against that. I know that we'll talk about the Trey Smith pick, kind mm-hmm. of maybe signifying their moving their concepts in the running game, perhaps. But I think Humphrey, nothing against Austin Blythe. Like, I was listening a little bit ago. You said Austin Blythe is a fine player. He's going to be a fine player. But Creed Humphrey, he has potential to be pretty good. And he has a really high floor. I think he's going to step in and be capable of starting from day one. So it wouldn't surprise me one bit if he won that job in training camp.
Yeah, because with the combination of it seeming like he has a higher ceiling than Blythe, again, a guy that I very much think would be perfectly fine in the middle of that offense, especially with the other four guys that would be starting around him. But it seems like Creed has a clearly higher ceiling and also could be doing it for many years to come now, which would be... I don't even know why I'm so enamored by that, but I think it would be wonderful. I would just love to know that there's one guy snapping the football to Patrick Mahomes for 4 years.
Yes, and it would have to constitute the Chiefs paying their center for once, mm-hmm. which is something that they haven't done recently, at least with Mitch Morse. That's something that people were really bummed out about. But he's a young guy, and I saw something today, actually, that I didn't even think about. They're making a big deal about him snapping left-handed
yeah.
and how that's going to potentially impact the delivery to Mahomes. And, like, if that is what you're hung up on, that means the player's pretty good. if you have to nitpick that much about his delivery and his setup, then I think he's going to be just fine. So I'm super excited. It's not like a sexy pick per se, but I think at 63, I didn't expect him to be there then. He's a guy that could be a rare center that went at the tail end of that first round, where even at 31, when the Chiefs had their pick, it was something that at least I was considering for them. So I think it was a really solid value pick that'll pan out short and long term.
I think it was Veach that brought up the snapping thing in his post pick presser. They said he can do it with each hand. No, Andy Reid said it, because someone, I'm not going to say who it was, but they may have been on the show earlier tonight, texted me and joked about how we needed to cut that and use out of context Andy Reid saying that he usually does it with his left hand, but he's also taught himself how to do it with his right hand. And I honestly, that it's something that I've never given any thought to. Like, I understand that there are very few left-handed snapping centers, but if you also had spent no time thinking about that, you can tell me as much and we can move on. But you brought it up, so if you think there's anything to that, I'd love to know, because I was totally, I simply never even thought about that.
It's like a slightly different rotation on the ball. Like, it's coming into the quarterback's hands differently. That's at least what I've learned in the past couple of days, because I hadn't even thought about it either. I was like, whatever, he snaps with his left hand, or he can or he can't. Like, it's not going to be the end-all, be-all, and I think with a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes and a smart center like Humphrey, they're going to get that ironed out pretty quickly.
Yeah, I agree. Let's just move down the list then, because Josh Kando, my thesis here for this draft class has been that at least outside of your first two picks, and really maybe the whole deal, but especially for the last four picks, there is an incredibly wide range of outcomes for all these guys. And being on any end of the spectrum, in the middle of the spectrum, literally nothing would surprise me. If Josh Kando is the Chiefs' starting edge rusher, either opposite Frank Clark or maybe even in place of Frank Clark because his money is about to get easier to move on from next year, I would not be surprised. And if Josh Kando never gets 25% of the snaps in a given season, I would not be surprised. What did you make of his pick and his game, understanding his backstory as being this incredibly highly recruited guy out of high school who never fully put it together at Florida State?
It's a fine fourth round pick. And even I think you tweeted out when the Chiefs made that selection, you were kind of rounding up the scouting report grades for him, and everyone had him a little bit lower than a fourth round pick, but the upside is legit. I mean, everyone talks about athletic profiles and how they translate to the edge rusher position in the NFL, and it's more than pretty much any other position. Like, there's a couple that are above it, but it's super important, and he has that. He has the athletic profile. He fits the Spags height, weight, arm lengths, measurement parameters. He has the potential. I mean, he's battled some injuries in the past. He has inconsistent tape. He's a little raw as a prospect, but he's a project pick, man. And for a fourth-round guy, you could do a lot worse than that, I think. And the possibility that it pans out is solid. It's there. There's definitely a non-zero chance that Josh Kando can be a starter one day. And there's also, like, people compared him to Passanio.
Yeah.
And it's just not a great comp, because Passanio was really long and big and explosive. But, like, he didn't have the agility. He didn't have the bend, all that stuff. Kando has all of that. Mm-hmm. He is a legit, very good athlete. And I believe if he can be developed well, stay healthy. He's entering a low-pressure situation. The Chiefs don't really need. They have a guy like Mike Dana who can defend the run on your first and second down, and then they have Taco Charlton who can come in on third down and wreak havoc. So I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't see very many snaps this season, but also wouldn't be surprised if down the road he turned out to be a pretty solid player for them.
I'm glad you mentioned Passanio and also the specifics of that. That's not a great comparison, because there's a point where I do want to compare them and a place where I do not want to compare them. And I'm even going to bring Breland Speaks into the party. Those three football players are incredibly different football players who all happen to have been listed as playing the same position. I say listed as because Breland Speaks probably never should have been. But they're three incredibly different football players and incredibly different types of projects out of college. But they were all prospects who were supposed to develop into being useful edge players for the Kansas City Chiefs. And the reason that I keep bringing them up is because Passanio was a second-round pick. Speaks was a second-round pick they traded up for. Kando went 144. I think you would probably agree on this, more tools than either of those guys two full rounds later, which for me makes me less stressed out about it than I was for Passanio, than I was for Breland Speaks, because if Kando doesn't work out, it still feels like a good bet. And I like being able to say, hey, this is either a good bet or a bad bet, regardless of the result. You have to be able to analyze that before you know the result of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And fourth-round picks don't pan out all the time in the NFL. Like, yeah, it's not like he is a first-round swing or a second-round swing where you're really missing out if that pick doesn't happen. And I believe Passanio was a 2017, so he wasn't even necessarily a Veach guy. It was a different system, different team. So people bring up that the Chiefs are notorious now for not developing edge talent, I guess, because Mike Dana hasn't progressed in 1 year past. He played pretty well for a fifth-round pick, I would say, and they just haven't had a ton of young, like Tim Ward. I mean, what do people expect the Chiefs to make out of the group that they've had? And I think that Breland Speaks, obviously, that was – there are multiple things that did go wrong that could have went wrong, that just different evaluations, different positions that he could have fit or didn't fit at, then coming into camp out of the shape or whatever was happening there. A lot that needed to be unpacked, and that is definitely a less than stellar Brett Veach. That was his first draft, right? First impression for trading up and making that selection. So, Kando, two rounds later, like you said, it's a much better value pick. He has more tools. He has the higher potential, the higher possibility of reaching that potential. And I think there's really nothing wrong with the pick, even if it is maybe around a little bit too early. That's okay.
I think the maybe most unique, most sort of interesting pick, at least in terms of not really knowing exactly how he's going to get used, is the next one with Noah Gray. They traded up for him, but they didn't give up a pick to do it. They moved up without losing volume, as Brett Veach has talked about, which I was very happy to see, at least that element of it. Noah Gray is very interesting to me because even Veach has said maybe he's an inside slot receiver, maybe he's an H-back, maybe he's a fullback. He's a bit undersized to be an inline player. What is Noah Gray?
Noah Gray is a few things. And luckily I knew a little bit about him when the Chiefs drafted him and I was at work. So I just pulled out my phone and I believe Tucker Franklin was on writing duty that day.
Yes.
So I sent him the little blurb and said, man, it's a fun pick. I think that he has some wiggle to his game. I hate using that word, but that's the way to describe it. He has some wiggle. He has yak potential. He doesn't have a great catch radius because he's only 6'3", 240. He doesn't have crazy long arms or anything, but he has reliable hands. He's versatile. He can be used as an H-back, and that's probably the best spot for him to commit to run blocking and stuff like that. But then you wonder about what the fullback situation is going to be like because the Chiefs already have a player who could fill that role. Their tight end room is now very deep. So this season, how Noah Gray is used is going to be really interesting. But long-term, I think the Chiefs may have struck gold on a tight end too. And that remains to be seen, but his baseline athletic profile and the stuff he can do will help quite a bit.
So I am intrigued to hear you be that optimistic about it because he seems like the guy for me that really nothing would surprise. If he becomes like a nice little weapon in the offense that does some things, I feel good about that, depending on how the Chiefs use him. I trust the Chiefs to have an offensive plan for him. I think if they didn't, they wouldn't have picked him and say, we'll just figure it out later. But also, it seems like, I don't talk me off of this, I guess. Here's what I need you to talk me away from. Whenever there's a guy that gets drafted and what you say is, well, he's not this, that, or that. He's not anything you're used to seeing at this position, but maybe he can, but he's got the tools to do this. He could be this. He could be an offensive weapon, is what they call Dexter McCluster. It's unfair to bring Dexter McCluster into this, but that's what I remember. They called him an OW, an offensive weapon. Whenever you have a guy that you say, well, we're just going to find a way to use him, sometimes that guy ends up being a star and a value because everybody overlooked him because he wasn't a traditional box filler, box checker.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes he never turns into anything because he doesn't check the boxes. Like it's I guess it's kind of simplistic, but I just feel like I can see both of those realities relatively easily for Gray.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I'm going to do a really bad job of talking you off of that because I kind of agree. And it comes down to what have the Chiefs missed at that backup tight end position?
Yeah,
since
good point.
Demetrius Harris left, and what do they need and what does he bring? And they need someone who can catch the ball when it's thrown to him. He can do that. I'd say he could probably get open as good as a Blake Bell, if not better than a Blake Bell. The blocking is going to be the interesting part. And I wrote an article of this man probably 6 months ago. Well, maybe 3 months ago. It's all a blur now.
It's all a blur, dude. It's all a blur.
Yes. It was pre-draft stuff. So it was at least 3 months ago. But anyway, it was about how often the Chiefs used 12 personnel, and the figure was like identical the past two seasons. It was really close. So they haven't really made that a major part of their offense. I think it was like 19%, and I could be totally off about that, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was. So it's just something they aren't really instituting a lot with the playbook, and part of that's probably because they don't have the personnel, but part of that's probably because they can move Travis Kelce around. They have Tyreek Hill. They have guys who were dynamic. Sammy Watkins was there. So, I mean, it'll be interesting. And Gray does bring some things to the table. I wouldn't be surprised if he never really manifests into the tight end too, but also with the stuff he can do, I think that it is definitely possible that he does that.
If you had to bet on one of the two, you said Powell was the guy that you were most like intrigued by. If you had to bet on one of those two guys panning out and becoming like a relatively significant role player, who would you bet on?
Definitely Powell. I think Powell is a guy that not even necessarily optimistically, like within his rookie contract, I think he could be a starting X receiver. And I think that there's a definite possibility of that. And then Gray, it's just kind of hoping that he turns out to be what they drafted him to be.
Let's talk about Trey Smith then, because it is very weird and very funny and very unusual to get to a point where we're arguably the pick that has most excited at least a subset of Chiefs fans is a guard taken in the sixth round. But Trey Smith is certainly not a typical late round offensive line prospect. Obviously, with the fact that he fell due to medicals with blood clots and lungs and all of that, which appears to be, from everything the Chiefs have said, not really a legitimate concern for them anymore. What are the Chiefs getting there?
They're getting a mauler, and a guy that I mentioned at the top of our conversation, that it goes against kind of that outside zone stuff that the Chiefs are used to doing, where they don't ground and pound. They don't quite, it's just not that guy with that system. But if they can get some push and some momentum up front with guys like Joe Tooney, with guys like Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith down the line, I'm just going to get this out of the way. There is a shot that Trey Smith becomes a starting right guard for the Chiefs. And that is absolutely insane for a sixth-round pick. And usually 90-whatever percent of the cases, you'd never say that about a sixth-round pick. Oh, this guy has a clear path to potentially being a starter. But if you take those medical concerns out of the way, you're looking at like a third-round pick, maybe even a second-round pick. He has really heavy hands. He's strong. He has really good size. I believe he's 6'5", like 320. I mean, he has good size for the position. He tested well at his pro day, which was a welcome sight, because personally I was worried about him being able to get out in the second level and kind of take proper angles, flip his hips and close them, clear space. So that's still kind of a worry, but overall, man, the medicals, if they check out and he just kind of develops, takes it slow for a year, especially with LDT being a free agent next season, with Long being a free agent next season, the Chiefs could have their offensive line set. And I know, I think it was Rudy. I know I give Rudy credit for everything. So even if it wasn't, it probably was Rudy.
Yeah, it was me.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, brought up that they're young.
Yep.
I mean, they have a specific skill set. They all can do different things. And I think that could combine to be something pretty special.
I can't help myself to go back and mention that. I just think it's funny because you mentioned how rare it is. Like, you're very much correct. But in 2014, the Chiefs drafted two guards in the sixth round who ended up being starters. Like, Zach Fulton and LDT were both in that draft. And they've just had so much success also later on. You'd have to go a few years in the future to see them try again. Khalil McKenzie in 2018 did not work out. But Nick Allegretti in 2019 as a seventh-round pick, I think is reasonable to say that he did.
Yeah.
You know, forced into action and was decent there. But that LDT Zach Fulton draft, I think about way more often than a normal, like, healthy person would. It's just something that I can't help myself. But boy, it would be a lot of fun. So, all right. So if I give you kind of a larger scale view, then draft class as a whole, how do you feel? And was there anything that slipped by where you went, man, I really thought they were going to address this, or maybe there was a chance they had to take a player somewhere else? You mentioned not being terribly high on Nick Bolton, so I'm guessing there's probably somewhere else at 58 you would have been more excited about.
Sure. Overall, I'd probably give the draft class a B, which,
yeah,
compared to Brett Veach as a whole, I think that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. He didn't exactly have the greatest track record when it comes to drafting, especially early on. So he didn't blow either of his two second-round picks. He didn't trade up to go reach anybody. The trade he executed later in the draft was great because he didn't lose any ammo. He just kind of changed where he was picking. So I think that he's getting smarter as a GM as he goes along, which is fantastic. And at 58, man, you look at that board at wide receiver, and the Powell pick definitely helps because I think he could turn into a reliable player. But Dyami Brown was still there.
Mm-hmm.
St. Brown was still there.
Mm-hmm.
Tylan Wallace was still there. Mm-hmm. Like, it just looked really, really appetizing there at 58. And I was like, man, the Chiefs have to do this, and then they didn't. Then at 63, I was like, okay, well, there's still, like, basically the same options there. So the Chiefs will go wide receiver here, and then they didn't. Then in the fourth round, they didn't. Then 162, they didn't. So I was a little bit worried. And then Powell, I had completely forgot about Powell. Like, I thought he was off the board. So that was a great pick. And then I kind of expected a cornerback in there somewhere. And that's probably just me looking into the future and wishing that they could have got, like, a sixth-round talent at cornerback, like a Bryce Thompson or whatever. But they got a kid as an undrafted free agent. I think it was Marlon Character. It was DiCaprio Boodle. They got a couple defensive backs that those guys you can't really expect too much from other than camp bodies and being competitive. But they're going to have Legarius Sneed. I think there is a certain someone that you tweeted today they need to pick up the phone and give a call.
Yes.
That would definitely, at least this year, kind of solidify that group more than it already is.
I was going to ask you about this because I just sort of as a roster building question. Obviously, I would love for them to bring back Bashaud Breeland for another year. I'd be very happy about that. We asked Matt Derrick about that last hour, and I asked for a percentage chance that the Chiefs would bring back Bashaud Breeland. Did you hear his answer by any chance?
I did not. What was it?
What do you think it was? What do you think the chance was? What would you get? What would you say the chance is? However you want to play that.
I'm going to guess what Matt's was first, and then I'll go after. I think Matt said 10%.
He said 1%.
Oh, wow.
I was floored. I'm still surprised. Because I would have been on the other side of 50, I think. I would have said it's more likely than not. And that might be me being hopeful more than anything. I trust Matt, but what were you going to put it at?
I was going to say 25, but hearing that, I guess I'll bump it down to 20. Like, I think someone, and this is absolutely ignorant of me to bring up, but someone tweeted a picture of him on his Instagram story wearing his Chiefs stuff, which does not mean anything at all. And I was like, oh, cool, Bashaud Breeland doesn't hate the Chiefs. He's still wearing their gear. Right. So that didn't, like, completely close the door on that, unless he's like me where he'd just be too cheap to buy something else, which could be a development there. There are athletes like that. But he fits a need. He hasn't. Man, it's been a weird career arc in terms of salary for him, because he was with Carolina and then had that foot injury that got infected, and then he didn't get his big contract, then came to the Chiefs and had that police altercation or whatever when he was at the gas station, so then that kind of messed up his market. Then he couldn't cash out again. Like, he's had multiple opportunities, and he's a reliable corner for that team. Like, he's probably a top 40 corner in the league, and there's definite value in that, but he just hasn't, for some reason, been able to translate it to financial compensation. I think he's either 29 or 30. Like, it's time's running out for that to happen. So if both sides kind of, I think it's a situation where if the Chiefs pick up the phone, he's going to come back, and that's just how it goes. But the likelihood of the Chiefs doing that, I'd say, especially after Veach's comments about them having a couple free agent signings potentially on the table, I mean, if it's over 50%, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I'm just going to go 20 because I think I've just had all the joy beaten out of me through football over the years and the draft process and all that. But I definitely wouldn't be surprised to see it happen.
I'm holding out hope. I imagine also I'm holding out hope for someone amongst the edges. You're right. Veach mentioned that today. And as of right now, no one's corrected me on this. So I'm going to keep saying it. I believe the Chiefs have 88 players on their 90-man roster. Are you imagining right now? You know what? I don't need you to guess. I don't need you to predict it. If you are the GM and you've got two roster spots right now you're looking to fill, is it corner and edge?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's Melvin Ingram or somebody. I don't really know the edge market right now and what it consists of, just because the Chiefs have kind of been adding talent there, and I think the Kando pick amounts to something. But definitely, I think Olivier Vernon is still out there, and he's more of a name that I know actually how he plays, so that's something you have to dive into. But I keep thinking of Richard Sherman at cornerback, and I'm probably in the extreme minority here. I think I've only seen like two other people tweet about that with the Chiefs, and he's really smart. He's old. He doesn't really play a lot of Chiefs-style football, especially throughout his career. He's been like a cover three type corner throughout a majority of his football shelf life. So it would just be fun, yeah. I think that he could pick up on that. He wants to play for a contender. He's a big name. He probably isn't looking to break the bank right now. So selfishly, I'm rooting for that to happen for the Chiefs. But Rashad Breeland has the familiarity, and I think that that would be a fantastic pick. And I know you brought up, it keeps L'Jarius Sneed on the inside for another year.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing, because that guy, why force him out? Like, because I'm 100% in the camp of the outside, a valuable corner, shutdown guy. He's more valuable than your slot, but sure. The slots in today's NFL don't suck.
Right.
Like, there was a definite market in the draft, like Elijah Molden from Washington. People were like, oh, the Chiefs could take him at the beginning of the second round or even trade up for him. He could start at slot. Like, he's a perfect option. Tyrann Mathieu can play in the slot. It's something where in the modern NFL, with guys running around and pre-snap formations changing and stuff like that, slot corners are super valuable. L'Jarius Sneed has the size to be a lockdown corner on the outside, but he's also like 23, probably. Mm-hmm. Like, he has a lot of football left ahead of him, and until the Chiefs absolutely have to do that, I'd be fine with him staying inside.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there, which makes sense because you started by saying that I said something, so I guess it would be weird for me to disagree with that all of a sudden, but I agree with you 100%. Jordan, thank you as always. I guess we'll get to talk about non-draft stuff next time we talk to you, which will be weird, but I don't know. Maybe it'll be a welcome little change of pace. Maybe eventually we'll have to talk about baseball. Maybe we'll have you all to talk about the NBA playoffs at some point. I don't know. We'll figure it out when we get there.
Yeah, I'll have to recalibrate my brain to get all that stuff figured out, but I think we can set something up.
Just start deleting scouting reports now. Like, you can get rid of 90 of those pretty easily, I think. So you can just go ahead and empty that folder out.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks, man.
Jordan Foote of Arrowhead Report. Follow him on Twitter at footnoted, FOOTENOTED. He really does do everything else also. I don't. As someone who doesn't sleep enough and does too many things, I think Jordan doesn't sleep enough and does too many things. Like, that's, I'm saying that.
Yeah, he's young.
That's true. He's still got the spark of life in there somewhere.
He's not old like us.
We really are washed, man.
I mean, I just tell people I'm 18 with 12 years of experience.
That I don't. I think Beard is going to make that a liner, and I think at that point you'll find out how creepy that sounds.
Yep, probably.
I know that wasn't the intent.
Nope. But I hear it.
It was the result. Follow him on Twitter, at footnoted. We'll talk more Chiefs draft and maybe try to make sure. Maybe we'll have an intervention with Rudy whenever we come back.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Whenever we come back, we'll talk about football. That's a promise that we probably will not be able to live up to. That's next.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Thanks again, Jordan Foote, for joining us. Go follow him on Twitter at footnoted, please. He's so good at everything and does so much content and works so hard. Go follow him on Twitter. That's what you do. FOOTENOTED. You can check out his work at arrowheadreport.com. We're obviously, at this point, going to have to spill into tomorrow to get to some of the audio and some of the lower players that we haven't talked about as much here today. And also, I've got more audio that I would like to get to today. We'll figure it out. I got some thoughts about Brett Veach's maneuvering in this draft. We'll get to it over the course of, we're going to have plenty of time to talk about stuff just this week. Here's what I want to talk about right now. We're going to take a little sports break. We've been very sportsy, very drafty. Beards is totally disengaged at this point, partially because Beards right now, it's Friday for Beards. It is holiday Friday for Beards. He's gone gone Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yep.
Beards is so out of it right now that he's giving me a thumbs up as an answer to that before turning on his microphone and saying, yep. Beards is going to get a break. Beards is moving. Are you getting a COVID shot?
Yeah, on Thursday.
One of the two?
First one?
Okay, you'll be fine. First one, I don't think most people have side effects for him. I got my second one yesterday, though. So if you're watching on Twitch or Facebook or YouTube or whatever, and it's like, boy, Josh keeps stretching a lot. I got it yesterday at 1, and I didn't have any side. I went to bed late, and the pharmacist or whatever that gave me the shot said that usually within 24 hours, you'll know if you're having side effects or not. And I got, by the way, hey, everybody, could you go get your shot, please? Thank you. I said thank you, so now you have to do it legally. Otherwise, you lied.
You're supposed to double dog dare them.
Hey, I double dog dare you to go get your COVID shots. But I am now at like 30 hours after the fact or whatever. Mm-hmm. I had absolutely zero side effects for the first 24 hours. But in the last few hours, I've just got my under my armpit is a little sore. My tricep is a little sore, but stretching does nothing, but I keep doing it,
yeah.
Which just takes into my side effects, which is much better than having COVID.
I got the obviously tetanus shot about 3 weeks ago, and I had a very similar thing where the first, like my mom was telling me, like, yeah, your arm may hurt tomorrow. And it really didn't. And then it was the day after that. That's when my arm was just a little sore.
It's just a little sore.
It doesn't not
hurt.
Big.
No, I'm not dying.
A little sore. But you are right, though. Like, it's
a little
just
annoying.
It's
like a
natural side effect that, like, the other day, like, or like the last week, I'm pretty sure I just, like, strained a ligament a little bit. Nothing big, just moving stuff, strained a ligament. There's nothing you can do for that. But I just kept stretching it, like, kept stretching my arm, just like, why is it hurt? I'm not doing anything that's going to help it in any way. But, like, that's just, like, a natural side effect.
It feels like if I stretch it, it would feel better, and then it doesn't really.
It doesn't.
It's just sort of distracting.
But it makes you think that it's going to.
I want to shake it out, and it's not quite doing anything.
Ice Pyro says the second shot gave him a fever. I think that might just be because you're a pyro.
That makes sense. You probably run a naturally high.
He did say it wasn't that bad, but he did call him sick. And, like, here's the thing. If you don't want to get the vaccine so you don't get COVID, get the vaccine so maybe you're feeling a little under the weather and you get a day off from work.
Hey, listen, everybody.
Very least.
Listen.
It's a free day off.
If you're a boss, legally, you have to stop listening right now for like 15 seconds. Just take a sick day day that you're going to get your second shot.
Just do it.
Anyway, maybe the day after. Yeah. Just plan ahead. Hey, whenever I get vaccines, mm-hmm. it just makes me sleepy for a day, and then get your shot, and then get your COVID shot, and then just like 6 tequila shots. Now you're partying.
Hey, bosses, stop listening for about 15 more seconds.
15 more seconds, bosses.
Here's the game plan. You schedule a second shot for about Thursday at noon.
Oh!
Because here's the thing. Nobody's going to make you go back to work the rest of the day. They're going to be like, yeah, no, that's cool. Now you get a half day. Now, you're also calling in sick on Friday.
That's a great idea.
And now, you know what? Three-day weekend, baby.
Three and a half days. Yeah,
three
love
and a half.
That. Yeah, schedule it right after lunch on a Thursday.
Yeah.
At least do yourself a favor and do it on a Friday. Whatever you do, don't do it on a Sunday like an idiot. I got both of my shots on Sundays.
Who would do that?
That's kind of weird. I don't know if I planned that. I planned it. I planned the last one. I guess took the first one I could.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it well enough, clearly.
I just came up with this idea, so I'm getting my first shot on Wednesday. So, again, bosses, stop listening.
Hey, stop. 15 more seconds.
I may be doing this in a couple weeks.
Anyway, it's just a little annoying, and I figured I would... Beards, dump it!
Dump it, Beards!
We're not recording. We're fine.
That would not be fine. I would be sad if this was all lost just into the thin air. Can you believe that podcasts used to not exist?
Whew. We got backups. There's 4 video streams going.
Yeah, but you're not going to stay to fix that. You're out of here, man.
Yeah.
You right now are planning. You're basically doing what we're saying to do. You're just ahead of us. It is kind of wild to think about for like 2 seconds. That for the vast majority of broadcast history, you would say words into this microphone, they would go out over the air into people's radios and cars, and they would be gone just as soon as they passed through your ears. People might remember it. People might, maybe you could set up like a, I guess you could record it in some way. We obviously have a bunch of little like,
there's some tape decks.
Old floppy disks, basically.
There's radio stations that probably have a storage unit full of tape decks.
But
you were either
there to listen to it or you weren't. That had to be kind of freeing in some ways, right?
A little bit.
It's probably like doing like a comedy show without phones or whatever. Like you're just freewheeling it.
No consequences.
Well, I don't think that's true.
Back in the good old days, you could do anything.
You could curse. What are they going to do? How are they going to tell that?
They don't know. They didn't have a copy.
Whoever called in and reported it. Effing liar. Ah, damn it. Oh, I said it again. I'd say it's kind of weird. All right. Well, I knew we had to have one short segment this hour to fix the clocks, and there it is. My arm is a little distracting.
Yeah.
And
crazy. And that brought us around to the existentialism of radio.
And it's kind of, oh, no, not even close, Beards. You want to have that conversation? We will have to use the next segment to talk about in depth, thinking about how existentially wild that is, that we put so much work into these shows every day. I put so much work into these shows every day. Yes. And after they're done, maybe someone will listen to the podcast, but even then, no one re-listens to old episodes of a sports radio show. You're not going to go listen to my pre-draft analysis, me talking about De'Ami Brown. He's not a Chief. You don't care. I mean, get it. I don't care.
At least 2 years from now, somebody will go back to you trashing Nick Bolton when he's obviously winning Defensive Player of the Year with Clyde Edwards-Helaire as the MVP.
I just want to be fairly represented on that one, is all. That's the only. If you want to say that I trash the Chiefs for drafting a running back in the first round, that would be accurate. If you want to say that I have a personal vendetta against
Nick
Bolton,
Brett Beach's job,
that's not accurate. I wish what I said disappeared immediately. I've gone full circle on this one. I wish that disappeared because you could say you said you're going to get tased. Tased? I've never said I was going to get tased if the Chiefs are going to
run. Why would I say such a thing?
What are you talking about?
That's crazy.
It's never going to happen. I would never say such a thing. You've got no way to prove it. And also, all of our work is inherently meaningless. Fleeting.
We're all just a speck of dust.
A speck of dust floating in the great beyond, saying sports words into the great beyond.
All we are is dust in the wind.
Whenever we come back, we'll break down Noah Gray.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Couple comments from the Twitch to close us out. We're not going to talk about Noah Gray right now. We will talk about all these guys over the course of the week, though. So if you want more that's not just Nick Bolton, Creed Humphrey, and the overarching views, we'll get to the rest of the week. But Ice Pyro said, I went back for the sad fans of the Super Bowl run. And Aspen 58 said, I've gone back to listen to the show the day the Thunder Jazz game was called off and everything started getting canceled. So,
yeah.
Not a totally fleeting existence.
Nope.
We matter.
Eh.
We matter.
Ish.
We're a radio show of record.
Eh.
That
I don't matter.
A lot of time talking about pee and poop today among all of our draft coverage. Thanks to Matt Derrick and Jordan Foote. Follow both of them and what am I? And read their work wherever it's published. We'll talk to you again tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Seth Kaiser at 9 tomorrow. Until then, bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.